Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills is a healing evangelist, a best-selling author, and a mega church pastor. He's the founder of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches, overseeing over 3,000 churches across every continent of the world. He pastors the First Love Church, a vibrant church in the city of Accra, transforming the lives of thousands of young people for the Lord. Now listen to Dag Heward Mills.
Hallelujah. Are you glad to be here? Can I have some volume? Hallelujah. I can hear myself. Right. Can you hear me? Well, we are in church. Amen. Amen. And we are about to listen to the word of God. Amen. Amen. And you are going to be blessed. Amen. With the word of God. Amen. Amen. Are you excited about that? Amen. Now, today I'm preaching about the church again. But this time, my topic is devotion. Devotion. All right? Now, I'm going to read from Acts chapter number 2. Everybody say devotion. And I'm going to explain the word devotion. It says, and now when they heard this, that was Peter's sermon, they were pricked to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, Acts chapter 2, and I'm in verse 38. Turn in your iPad. How many do not have iPads yet? Father, for every hand that is lifted up, I ask that an iPad will be given in Jesus' name. We thank you that electronic Bibles are our portion. In Jesus' name. Amen. Receive it. Receive it. Right. The iPad will also help you in your schoolwork. It will help you a lot in your schoolwork. It will help you in your communication. It will help you in your spiritual work, because in your iPad will be your music, your worship, your preaching messages, your Bibles, all your books, everything. Receive it. One. So write to your friend who is abroad and tell the person, I need an iPad. Now, for my school, tell your father, one of the things you forgot to ask him was for an iPad. I really help all the apps for every course. There are so many things that you can get on your iPad. We have moved into a digital age. The day of turning pages is past. So may you walk into the new era. I receive your Galaxy, your tripod, iPad, and other modern technological changes. Amen. All right. How many have got modern phones? Do you remember we prayed about that one? How many have received newer phones since we started praying? We have moved from phones now. We are moving into other things. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. For the promise is for you, your children, and for those who are far away. Verse 40. And with many words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, save yourself, be saved from this perverse generation. So that those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. 3,000 members. You see, God's church is a mega church. We are going to have thousands of students in this church. And verse 42. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Okay? They were continually devoting. Have you seen that word, devoting? What does your version say? Steadfastly continued. Is that what it says? They continued steadfastly. All right? My version says they devoted. They were continually devoting themselves. Hallelujah. There's a new church that had been formed. The first church after the first crusade. And people joined the church. The first thing what they did when they joined the church, they said, what shall we do? And he showed them how to be in the church. Is it fantastic? How to be in a church. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Do you want to have a good feeling? Or you want other feelings? These ones are okay. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing. Mr. Computer Man, you better get your versions right. Otherwise, you lose your job by next week. Okay? Who is the one doing this King James Version when I'm reading a New American Bible? Let this be your last chance. All right? Where is the... Who is that? No, this will be your last opportunity. You cannot do that. We are in a different... There are more than 26 versions of the Bible we can use. And sometimes a different version helps you to understand what you are reading. The King James Bible is the best Bible, really. But sometimes another version throws some light. That's why we need other versions. You need to have different kinds of Bibles. All right? Are you listening to me? So day by day, they were continuing with one mind in the temple. All right? Breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Amen. They were taking their meals together. This one said they were breaking bread from house to house. But what it means is they were having their meals together. Are you listening? Yeah. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Amen. Now, I'm talking about building the church, because this is the number one project that Jesus Christ is doing now. He says, I will build my church. Simple. If you join yourself to a winning team, you'll be glad. If you join yourself to something that's not working and that will never work, you'll be sad. And half of Ghanaians are very sad because their party did not win. But I am not sad because my party has not lost. Any party that wins is not a loss to me. And it's not a win either. I'm always on the winning side, which is Jesus. So I do not go up and down depending on what Ghanaians are going to vote or what the Supreme Court is going to decide doesn't affect me personally in that sense. It affects us all in a way, but it doesn't really, the parties are not so different for it to affect the nation much, depending on who comes. You understand? That's the truth. So instead of joining something that is doomed to win sometimes and to lose sometimes, it's better that you join something that God is doing. And God's work works. I would advise you to attach yourself to something successful. You know, when I started in Kolebu many years ago as a pastor in the church, right? You know, there were only 50 people in my class. 55, 5 dental and 50 medical students. So, I tell you, when I was doing the church and building the church, people thought that I was crazy. Have always thought that I was crazy. Right? But in the long run, you find out that the church is what lasts. Recently, a professor in the medical school said, he said to my wife, actually, he said, what you people are doing is far more important than what we are doing. I was surprised. A lecturer. He said, what you are doing is far more important than what we are doing here, the medical school. Yeah. And you know, and as you approach death, as you get older, you know, but what I'm preaching to you is wisdom. Wisdom is not used to old people. Wisdom is not useful to old people in that sense. Understand, I'm speaking in a context. Why? Because their lives have passed a certain stage. You are now coming to experience life. So you need wisdom. When you've done all the things already and taken all the decisions, time has gone by, and you now say, I now know what is right. But you have no more chances to implement it. Because your time is gone by. So when you come to church, you hear the word of God. The word of God is full of prophecies, it's full of wisdom, it's full of explanations, and it's full of guidance that surpasses understanding that you can have with your own thinking. All right? So you must listen and somehow believe God to be able to implement it in your practical life. That's the only way the church really will benefit you, if you can somehow implement some of the things that you are hearing. And if you do, your life will be at least a little upgrade of the wretched life that is found here on this earth. Amen. Now, listen very carefully, because coming to the church and choosing the right horse to back, right, can be a great benefit. If you back the wrong horse, you get it. You are sort of odd, and it doesn't work for you. If, for instance, you were in NPP and you were backing Alan Tremantin, all right. First of all, when he lost and you were openly backing him, right, you become awkward in the party, because his opponent is the main man now. And you were the top supporter of the opponent. So then you become a little odd within the party. Then when you have two parties, NPP and NDC, and you are fully and openly backing NPP, all your heart and your mouth and your life and your public, everything. And then they lose, and then they lose, and then they lose. You are sort of odd, do you understand? In the system, it's like you are on the losing side. You know, and God doesn't want you to be on the losing side per se. That, I'm not saying don't do politics, but I'm telling you something higher than politics. That as for God's church, it will be built. It will work. Whether you want it to work or not, it will work, and it is working. Hallelujah. So get involved in the church. Use your life to join Jesus' building project so that he will call you every day. And say, by the way, hi, I want to tell you something about the project that we are on. And he'll speak to you and whisper things into your heart. Hallelujah. Now, when you join the church, you are very, very important. Unlike some places when you join the things, you realize they just want you to be a member just so that they can write so many people came, including you. But when you join the church, you'll find out that when you close your eyes to pray, God is listening to you. Wow. How important you are. You can close your eyes and pray, and immediately the highest and greatest person is listening to you. Okay, so you are very important. And don't see yourself as, oh, just, I mean, I'm nothing. You are something. And this is a church with, I mean, we are all children here. We are all students. So here you are important. It's not like they are grown-ups. So it's like, I mean, children should be silent. No, this is where you can talk and you can dance and you can sing and you can do something and you can become something. All right. Now, the first advice that Peter gave was, save yourself from this perverse generation. All right. Now, this is the first advice I can give you also as you've come to join the church. All right. Now, the word perverse, it means winding and crooked, twisted. Okay. Now, the world is twisted totally. Nothing is straight. And you will discover that as you go along, that everything is different from how it looks. So, you are about to enter a river which is not going where you think it will go. You see it going this way, but it's going to go that way. You see happiness. When you join the happiness river, you come to sadness. And you say, wow, I never knew. All right? So, ladies and gentlemen, save yourself from a crooked life. You do not need to become a twisted, crooked person in this twisted and crooked world. And you will find out that the world is crooked. All right? You'll find out that the world is crooked and twisted. Amen. Amen. Are you listening? Yes. Yeah. Everything is twisted. Nothing is straightforward. One of my friends, he came to on campus, and join one of the SRC or NOOCs. They were doing some demonstration. So he thought that it was for a certain cause, and it was. There was an official cause that they were fighting. And so at a point, they said, let us go to town. He was following the guys. Let's go to town for something. So they went to town. And then when they got to town, they went to a mosque. And when they entered the mosque, there, these other student leaders who were leading them, right, in the mosque, they met with some other people. And this is my friend. He was sitting there. He didn't know what was happening. You see, because it's not as you think it is. He thought they were campaigning for something or they were demonstrating about something. When they were inside the mosque, some people were now sharing. They were sharing dollars. And they were counting dollars in the mosque. Yeah. Not knowing that, the students who you saw who were saying, there's no more space on that side, Mr. Man outside, there's no space on this side. So direct the people here. Who is that? Somebody is not doing your work well, please. There's no space on this side. Just, can you put some chairs here? At the back here, please. Can some people bring some chairs over there and put behind here? behind this last row here. Yeah, I was telling you something. Asomwa, it was not just a demonstration for some principle or some cause that they were fighting. You understand? It was somebody was financing them on campus to shout about this. Sometimes you see, they said, oh, we are going on a looter for this cause so that they'll close the university down. They said, not knowing that it's behind it. Somebody is financing the students to be agitated. Because when the students close down the school, it goes against the government. So it is not as it looks. Are you listening to me? Then you come to school and you see that, oh, they say you've got, this one has got first class, second upper, third upper, and so on. After some time, you find out that some people are sleeping with the lecturers. As of more, the first class and second class upper and third upper is not as straightforward. I'm trying to explain to you that the world we are in is very twisted. Nothing is straight as you see it. It's not like that at all. Then you see elections. They say so many people voted, so many people voted, so many. When you go and check, you see that number one, 270 people registered, but 590 people voted. How can that be possible? Fantastic! And you see, all over, more people than exist vote. Then, you also go on and find out that an election result, which was supposed to be signed, the man who is representing the Electoral Commission sitting there, who is supposed to sign that this is the result, does not sign. He never. So papers are brought and written without his signature, and it is also added in as these are votes. Are you listening to me? All these things happen. Then you realize that, oh, Asomwa, this person who had 26,000 against 22,000, Asomwa, about 8,000 of them are not even real people. Huh? Yes. What I'm trying to say is that nothing is straight as you see, like, oh, what is right is what is happening. It's not like that. Then you see people who look decent as opposed to be correct, and you find out that it is not like that at all. The whole world is unfortunate. You go for a job, when you go for the first day, you go for national service. The first day, the director wants to sleep with you on the first day. That is your first introduction to national service. Yes? Or you go on national service and there a young girl comes to you. You have been sent there as a teacher. And when you go as a teacher, how do you know all these things? Why are you laughing? You go as a teacher and then a young girl in the class comes to offer herself to that her mother sent her to you. Yes. To come and watch for you and to stay with you.
Then, you go and report, you go and tell to your fellow service or teacher who was there before you came, that can you imagine something like this? And he says, oh yes, he has finished all of them already in the class. Yeah. Nothing is, every the wealth is crooked. So when what I'm sharing with you is what the word of God says, save yourself from this crooked generation. Or a soccer team goes to play a match. Before they start, they agree that when the ball goes through the goalpost, it is a goal. As they are playing, they score 3, and then finally the final whistle goes, and both sides start jumping. The side which scored 3-0 and the other side which was scored 3-0. You understand? Both of them start jumping. And everybody is confused. Why? Who won? Then they decide to look at the scoreboard. When they look at the scoreboard, the scores are 27-3. And then they say, how can it be that the scores are 27-3 in a soccer match? And then the referee explains that even though this was a corner kick, that is, it passed to the side, on this match, he has decided to include corner kicks, like the ball that passed on the side, as goals. And throw-ins, there were 16 throw-ins. And they are all goals. And there were seven corner kicks. That's how much, 23. And there were 4 free kicks. And we have added free kicks. So the score became 27-3.
Wow.
And then they decide to take it to the Supreme Court of Soccer. And the Supreme Court of Soccer says that you cannot let an underdog team which has never won always be losing. And therefore, it is their inalienable right to also win a match sometimes. Do you understand? You cannot deny them the right of winning. And therefore, even though in this case it was a throw-in, but in this case we are considering it as a goal. Wow! And you cannot believe it, because you were playing. So nothing is as you think it will be. I'm telling you, you're going to finish school and come out with your degrees, and you see that people are not respecting your degrees. You wait, you finish school, you think you will get a job. When you finish, you come with the thing, say, we don't have any job. I thought I would be this. Or you go, you feel that somebody rises through this method. But it's not like that. You know, so Peter said, look, save yourself from this untoward generation. Yesterday, I was watching Mobutu. And I was watching his speeches. You know, when Patrice Lumumba came into power on the 30th of June, 1960. And got independence of Congo. Mobutu was his secretary, chief of staff, something. He put him in charge somewhere. And he took charge of the army after 6 weeks and asked them to surround the president in his house, Patrice Lumumba. 6 weeks. Yes. And arrested him in his house. Yeah. And kept him there. And when he tried to escape, he took him, captured him again, and took him somewhere. He said, they announced on the day that, oh, when they took them to that area, some villagers came, attacked them, and killed them. So within 3 months, he was dead.
of becoming the president. And Mobutu became the president. Yeah. With first speeches, he was accepted by everybody. President Bush, he visited President Bush more than 22 times. Yes, President Bush even adopted some of his children, according to the documentary. Everybody, he was in the carriage of the Queen. You will see him driving through London in the Queen's carriage. Yes. President of China, President, everywhere he was accepted and hailed. And you see a helicopter pilot was explained. He said, look, the Secret Service were killing so many people, and his duty was to take them and dump them in the river. So he said, I used to fly from here. They put the dead bodies in the night. I fly and I drop them in the water. I drop them and I come. When I come back, the Secret Service will come and clean the helicopter. And this is a wicked man with, I mean, murdering people, killing. And you see his minister of information telling him he can't drink blood. Yeah, that's a kind of person. Do you understand? Looted, and by the time he finished, the whole country was finished. But you see, as he was there, he was welcomed the whole world. Deception, I mean, disloyalty, treachery, everything. It's that he is great and he's hailed, he's accepted, he's wanted. The world is not as you look, as you think it is. It is a terrible world. So salvation is to save you. And if you don't listen to what I'm saying, and you decide to go out there in the world, the buses are waiting for you to take you to the beach in the night. And there you will see that the world is not straight. You'll be dancing in the beach, fornicating with 1,000 men. And by the time your womb is spoiled, you will now say, had I known what the bishop was preaching, I heard him. He was talking. He said, save yourself. But we didn't save ourselves. We rather went away. We were annoyed. We were annoyed and we left. And we went into this terrible world. And what has become of us? Young man, you are not wiser than God. And so God is telling you, when you come to the church, save yourself. You are saving yourself. Save yourself. I even think about somebody trying to save yourself from this crooked, twisted world. Nothing is as you think it is. Nothing is what you think it is. And only God has hope for us and for mankind. Amen. Amen. So, how do you carry on? The next thing is devoting yourself. Devotion. It says they were continually devoting. I'm showing you how to be a church member. Alright? They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Alright? Number two, to the apostles' fellowship. That is the company. They were devoting themselves to the company. And number three, they were devoting themselves to the breaking of bread, that is eating together. And number four, they were devoting themselves to prayer. Okay, now what does devotion mean? Devotion has a very beautiful meaning. And I'm going to give you a little mnemonic that will help you to remember it. Devotion, to be devoted to something, means to be zealously... To be zealous in your attachment. Attachment. Number two or number three, your loyalty. And number four, your affection. So attachment, loyalty, and affection. So you are zealously attached, zealously loyal, and zealously full of affection for the church, for the pastor's teachings. Yeah. Now, I didn't write the Bible. If I'd written the Bible, you could blame me, but I didn't write it. The Bible says the first church were devoting themselves. They were devoting. That means that they had an attachment. That means they were loyal. They had affection, that they liked it. You see, there are people who sometimes accuse people in the First Love Church for being too happy with the church. Do you understand? But the Bible says that they were devoting themselves, which means that they had affection. They seem to like it. They seem to like the church. What's your problem? You got a problem? You got a problem with that? But somebody likes the church. The Bible said they were devoted, which meant they were attached. And then there seemed to be an attachment. Why are you always going? Why not? Why not?
When you are going to your boyfriend, when you are going to your girlfriend, when you are going to watch pornography, what do they call? Blue films. Do they still call it blue film? Yeah. When my wife was in first year, a brother, just a quiet guy in the class, he came to invite her. He said, can we go and watch a blue film together? I mean, actually, invitation. He was doing invitation. He was inviting her to come with her to go and watch a blue. She didn't know what it's a blue film. You are attached to 1,000 other things. Now you can see, when you see NPP supporters and NDC supporters, you see that they are attached to what they are doing. You see that they have some affection. You see that they have loyalty. Hey, they will die for it. No problem. You want to die for that? Go ahead. But what I'm sharing with you is that there is a group of people who have this devotion rather for the church. Amen. Now notice, this is what they were devoted to. Number one, they were devoted to their pastor's doctrine, their pastor's teachings. No, look at it, the apostles' doctrine. So you must be devoted. That means you must have an attachment to what your pastor is saying. Oh, I want to hear from God directly. When God opens his mouth to speak, then I will listen. You are hearing, I am not God, but in all, unfortunately, I have to be a servant. Somebody like me and somebody like you will be the people that God will speak to, unfortunately. You know, when they wanted to worship Paul, when he got to Athens, he told them, look, I am having the same nature as you. You cannot worship me. I have the same problem and the same sickness that you have. But you will by all means have to listen to an ordinary man speaking. And you have to become attached. So you must be devoted to your apostles' doctrine. I am the apostle and I'm speaking and I'm teaching. I have teachings, doctrines, books, writings, messages, CDs, internet. You must be attached. If you are not attached, there is something wrong with you. And you watch, something is going to be attached to you soon. It's just a matter of time. You see, you know something? Everything you don't do in this area, you do it in that area. It's like music. If you listen to worldly music, if you don't listen to worldly music, you listen to Christian music. You see, you cannot create a vacuum easily. Nature abhors a vacuum. Any vacuum or space you create will be filled with something. So the space you create will be filled with something. That is why when God wants to save you from women, he would often give you a woman to save you from women. Yeah. Because when there's no woman in your life, when there's no woman in your life, a lot of women have direct access to you. Yeah. Even a woman who is not your wife, once there's a friend, there's somebody, the person is like a blockage. So you find out that one of the ways to be protected from women is a woman. That's why the Bible says that she will keep thee from the strange woman. She will keep thee from the strange woman. Once there is a space for devotion in your life, you will be devoted to something. Yeah. One day I was talking to someone who knows someone who is a top member of a political party. Top member. And I was asking whether, and that person is a member of a charismatic church.
And I was asking, does that fellow, does he criticize the church, the charismatic church? I said, yeah, he criticizes the church. Criticize the bishop, speak, say this, today say that, to say that. I asked, does he criticize NDC, which is the party that he belongs? Never. No matter what happens. Do you understand? There's never a word like A. When it's the most obvious evil, there will never be a word from the person negative about NDC. You see, devotion is a space in your heart. It will either be directed to this or to that. So you see that sometimes the church even becomes a minor thing. But it's like the politics is the main thing in your life. And it's like, so they can do everything because the politicians, they know. You know, I recently met one of the top government officials, and he told me, hey, Pastor, it's a pleasure to meet you. He said, you know, we have to say what is politically right, and you have to say what is morally right. So they don't have to speak the truth, but what is politically good for them, which may be lies, they have to say. But then you have to say what is morally right. So you see that they will never say a word because they are devoted. But I will not criticize the church. But I'm devoted to the church. I preach for the church. I fight for the church. I help the church. I'm not devoted to NPP. I'm not devoted to NDC. So I see so many things wrong with all of them. So my friend, devote yourself to the pastor's doctrine. How many want to be devoted to something? Devoted to something. Some of you are devoted to this brother. No, that's... Yeah. Look. It's better to be devoted to the word of God. Amen. So I'm teaching you how to be devoted. And number one, be devoted to the teachings. All of you must have the Bible. I teach the Bible. You must have the books that I've written. You must read the books that I've written. You must listen to the messages. Look at the Bible. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines, like the things that the apostles were always, they were devoted to it. So it's not a bad thing. You know, I'm saying it because sometimes when you are doing the work of God or when you are serving God, people make you feel bad. They say, oh, why? I mean, is this person a god? Is this person this? Why are you so happy? Why are you seem to be attacked? Are you in love with the person? Hey, you are in love with the pastor. Hey, why? This and that. Hey, why? What? You know, there's a lot. You are worshiping him. And so on. Have you heard all these things? Read your Bible. They were devoted to their apostles' doctrine. Wow. So there's nothing wrong if you are always listening and learning and listening. After all, you think of how old you are. I am more than twice the age of many of you. I was walking on this same campus, buying wache under this very building here. I've been here. The Bible says, let not him that is now going to the war boast, but he that has gone and has come and has taken off his armor. I is the one who should boast. I've walked up and down these very roads. It's as fresh in my memory as if it was yesterday. I also found a beloved right here. And I went forward and I've married and I've seen 25 good years of what it is about. I've been in a relationship since 19 whatever. You are now coming and I'm talking. You wouldn't listen to what I'm saying. You wouldn't listen. When I say wisdom is for those who are now coming, you are the ones who need wisdom more. So listen and learn. And it is not as though in academic things I didn't do well. In my time, only 50 people went to medical school. 50 people a year could become doctors. No apple. They don't change results. They don't do anything. They don't do any exam. It's just the A level. Pure.
And I did it. And I was in the school. 50 people. And I was the fifth person to be chosen in the school. In the country. It's not as though like there's only granite or whatever in my head. No. I have something more than water up there. I'm telling you something. Academic. Which area is it? What area is it? Is it background? Is it family? Is it marriage? Is it education? What is it? Which area? Is it international exposure? What is it? So you better open your heart and be devoted. Yeah, because God will give you an apostle and teach you. This is what they were doing in the first church. They were devoted to the apostle's doctrine. What he was saying. What was he saying? You watch children. Those who are devoted to when their father says, do this. Father says, don't do this. You watch the outcome. Yeah. You see, they are always different. They are different. The outcomes are different. So don't be shy. I'm teaching you this so that because many of you are devoted already. But I'm teaching you so that you know, you become very confident. Say, Lord, for me, I'm devoted to my apostles' doctrines. It's not a problem for me. I like it. And then don't feel worried when you find that you are attached. It's in the Bible. If you like, check your dictionary. The meaning of devoted, it means attachment. Zealously attached, loyal, and full of affection for something. Wow, what a definition. I'm so excited by this definition. Affection. Attachment. When Kenneth Hagin died, I realized that I was devoted to his teaching. I had some affection. But I started crying. I saw the text on my phone. I started crying. When he died, I got a text from that he was told, somebody I put shaking hands with once, said hello and bye-bye. You know, there are some people you relate with them, hi and bye. You call them hi bye. But when he died, I started crying. Because there was some affection. There's nothing wrong with that affection. It's from God. Jesus said, nobody can come to me unless the Father draws him. So sometimes you notice that you are being drawn. The second area is that they are attached to the fellowship. That's the meetings. Some say, why are you going for these meetings? Let me answer your question quickly. If you don't go for this meeting, you go for another meeting. Go to the abortion clinics around Legon. They are full of Legon students going for their abortions. Yeah. Doctor, is it true? Is it true?
Yeah, it's very true. Like when I was around Kulebo, once I went to work on a Sunday, 2:00. And when I got there, there was this young lady. They were performing a manual vacuum aspiration for an abortion she did at home that didn't go well, and she went to church. So right there in church, she started bleeding and she came back to the hospital. Then when we started talking, she said, which church do you belong? He said, oh, I was in church just across the street. And I asked, what is the name of the church?
Yeah. Vacuum aspiration. They are aspirating the baby and the blood from the woman manually. Aspirate the child. They are extracting the child. That boy in Hilaliman or whatever baby, they are extracting it. Instead of coming for a meeting, they are now extracting it by aspiration. So, don't be worried. Don't think it's strange when you find yourself becoming attached to. In fact, you should be. So, yeah. Or you'll always be going for political meetings. Always, 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 always. NDC, 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 NPP, NPP. And so when I meet Christians, I say, look, brother, as a Christian, show that you are a Christian when you are in these political parties. So become a strong Christian before you go for politics. Because if you are not strong, when you go, you'll see that cold politics will take over. Yeah. And Mobutu, you know, I was watching him. After organizing the killing of Patrice Lumumba,
5 years later, he came out the hero. Said that Patrice Lumumba is the hero of Congo. And made a big celebration for him. And organized like how we do for Kwame Nkrumah here in Congo. Yeah. You come after organizing him out. Resting him. Yeah. And he got, you see him, very wild man. His prime minister, there was a prime minister. He got the prime minister in three. He said that they have plotting against him. He took them to the stadium. In public, he led them publicly in front of the people. And they led them to the stadium. And they hung them. They made them pray. And they hung the prime minister and they hung three of the other ministers. They hung them in public after they prayed. Yeah. Lugubrious celebration of evil. Yeah. And it's see the kind of person. You get it? And you see that there are people that will be following this politics. And you will be defending it as a born-again Christian. Yeah. So I'm saying rather come to the church and be a strong believer. Before you go into other things. Yeah. You know, a lot of people cannot be strong Christians unless a lot of people are doing it. There was a time when soccer, people were playing soccer. You see that they would do juju, they would go, they have to take the footballers, go and do juju and all that. Recently, soccer players started praying. And when more people started praying, then it became easier to pray. Isn't it? Then you find people start to pray. But you see, you don't only be a Christian when a lot of people are doing it. But you can stand up and say, hey, it's not right. Yeah. I met some Christians. I said that President Rawlings is behaving more like a Christian than some of you politicians. The only person who can stand and criticize his own party that he founded and say that they are doing bad things. Yeah. A Christian will never stand and say, I am in this party, but it is wrong. They don't say that. Only President Rawlings has done that. So ask yourself, he does not claim to be what we are. He is able to stand up for what he believes is right. It's a shame to us who call ourselves believers. Yeah. So the next one is be devoted to a fellowship, then breaking of bread, eating, which means other social life. Your other social life should be with other church members. Yeah. Who are your friends? The only time that you come, you are with a Christian is when you are in church. As soon as we go out, you are with another wild group of people. Because breaking of bread after praying and all that, when we go, we are going to eat. We are going to be in the room. We are going to be whatever. And who will you be with? Who is it with? That is why the Bible says that they were attached to the meetings, to the apostles' doctrine, and they were breaking of bread together. They continued. They were together breaking of bread. So the social life is also part. So sometimes you realize that you don't have any other friend in the church. There is something wrong with you. Check your neighbor and see whether he has any friend or, you know, person that you know. Are you a stranger here? When we leave here, you are going back to Satan's house. Amen. When you are getting married, your maid of honor must be in the church. She must be from the church. Not that you are getting married and you go and bring a stranger from somewhere. Who is your best friend? Who is your best friend? Who is your best man when you are getting married? So my best man is from the village. I'm going to bring him. My best man is from the village. I'm going to bring my best man from the village. My best man is this smoker. It's my main guy. My best man is this wild guy. Show me your friend. Yeah. Show me your friend. Show me the people that you eat with. I want to know the people that you eat with. I want to know the people that you are moving with. How can you come to this church and then when they start, are they going to start the beach parties again this semester? They're going to start the beach party. Then you are going on a beach party with who? Aha. You see, if you are with, listen, Christian life does not last for 1 hour a week. Christian life does not last for 1 hour. Those of you who are used to 1 hour a week Christianity. Now Christianity ends as soon as we say Amen. 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 And you are back to the devil. Can it be that in all the exams we did, all the elections we did, there is no Christian who can come up and say, look, we rigged the thing, we cheated. You cheated some. Like somebody should. How can it be? 26,000 polling agents. Not even one who says he goes to church can come forward and say. Huh? Because Christianity ends when they say Amen. After the Amen, breaking of bread and every social music, when we put on the music to eat, to listen to us, we are going to eat, it's a different music. The person who you buy or watch it from is a different... It's a different person. Yeah. A lot of airways, you see that she buys her fish from Davi. She buys a watch from Davi also. Meat from Epo. Huh? The dough. A seamstress is Afi. Her dentist is Dr. Sogbojo. Her electrician is... Electrician is who? Adam. The doctor is Dr. Kwaukumi. The carpenter is Wisdom. The mason is Prosper. And they are all moving. Yeah. Look. Christianity is above all those things. Amen. Yeah. Your attachment should be rather to the house of the Lord. Look. The worst thing that can happen to us is to become tribe conscious rather than Christ conscious. It's a very bad thing, and it has come to Ghana big time. And I will advise you that instead of being, oh, it's my brother who is a dentist, it's my whatever who is selling fish, it's my whatever who is doing the, rather the breaking of bread and every other social part of your life, let it be Christ-centered, church-centered. Yes. And you see what a blessing. What a blessing. I thank God. I thank God. My whole life is related to the church. When I'm breaking bread, I break bread with Christians. Yeah. I break bread with... Everything I do is related to church, Christian, Christ. Christ must be there. Otherwise, I cannot. Yeah. If there is a job, Christ must be somewhere. Yes. It must be connected. Christianity does not... And when we say, Amen! What about this evening? What's going to happen tonight to you? When you are in your hostel at Pentagon, and a boy is coming knocking when you said amen right here in the central capital, that was the end of Christianity and it has turned into something else. No. No. Christianity does not end when we say, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us now and forevermore. Amen. 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 That's the end of God. Now you are going wild. You are going to do every and anything. No, that is why he said they were devoted, attached to both preaching, meetings, social life of fellowship, breaking bread, and prayers. This is how the church was. Are you a part of the church or you are just visiting? Are you devoted? You have to be a devoted member. Yeah. Why? Not because I say so. Look, consider me to be even an idiot. Just read your Bible. Acts chapter 2 verse 42. They devoted themselves. They continued steadfastly in four things. The pastor's talking, his doctrines, his teachings, his books, what he was saying. There was no Bible at that time. There was no Bible. There was no Bible, written Bible. It was just what the pastor was teaching. They were devoted. Oh, apostle said this yesterday. Apostle said this on Sunday. Apostle said this on the Sabbath. And they were devoted to what the apostles were saying. There was no New Testament. There was nothing. They were devoted to what he was talking about. They liked it. They had an affection for it. They had attraction to it. They were attached to it. Ah, I want to encourage you. You see, sometimes when God is doing something, you feel bad. You sometimes feel bad. You feel that, oh, maybe I'm in love with the guy. Sisters, don't you sometimes feel that way? That maybe you feel an attraction. And so, are you in love with the man of God? Yeah. Then what about the brothers? Are they also in love with the man of God? Are they homosexually in love with the man of God or what? When you are eating, Christianity must be there. Breaking of bread. Because to break bread, you must work. You must get money. How is that environment? Some of you take jobs. A job which there is no Christianity in. You've taken it. To be a bartender, work in a nightclub, work in a hotel. That is evil. Or go and work in a political situation which forces you to do evil. You must be attached to the church and dissociate yourself from this perverse generation. Look, how do you think you can save yourself from this wicked generation? By having another group around you. Yeah. Have a completely different group around. How would you be saved from this world? You have different girls. Girls that will not sleep with you. Your friends who are ladies must be ladies who, even if you try to sleep with them, it will not happen. After all, God has put your vagina at a very secure place. It's not easy to gain access to that place. Yeah. Everybody says security. Yeah. God has placed it at a secure place. You must have Christian brothers who will not sleep with you as friends. They will not try to. They will not try to. They cannot ask that question. Save yourself. I said, save yourself from this wicked generation. Save yourself. If you like, play with it. You'll be surprised. One day you will say, I used to be in this church first. I used to be there. All these things we used to do. But now, save yourself. Change your company. And don't be shy of being devoted. Let them say you are worshiping. Say, hey, I'm worshiping. You can say that I'm worshiping. Yeah, worshiping whatever. When I see the politicians, I just smile, you know. When they were campaigning for Professor Mills, he's affable, he's humble. They brought some seven Legon girls.
I'm going to put Professor Mills because he's very humble. I'm going to put Professor Mills because he's very... I'm going to put Professor... Hey! Everybody say cold politics. Yeah, cold politics. Hard, cold politics. They know what they are saying is not true, but they are saying it. So, Akufo-Addo is the best. He's this. Oh, he's very this. He's the one who put us. Meanwhile, in their heart, they feel it. They say, the man, I mean, he cannot do this. He cannot do this. And they'll be saying it. Cold politics. Devote yourself to the apostles' doctrine. Devote yourself to the fellowship. Number three, devote yourself to breaking of bread. Eh? Devote yourself to prayers. Chale, pray so that you don't fall into temptation. How many feel temptations all around? How many wish the temptations were not there? When you die one day and you go to heaven, you'll see there's no more temptation. A certain brother, he died and he came back. But he said when he died, he was going up into heaven like that. He wrote a book about it. He said when he looked at his body, he had a new body. When he looked down, all his organs were gone. There were no organs. The day is coming when you'll be free. But for now, Charlie, we must fight. We must pray. We must pray. Hey! And you must not create vacuums. Don't create vacuums in your life. Every vacuum will be filled. Don't create a vacuum for apostles' doctrine. When you create a vacuum, some other teaching to politics, talking, newspaper, sports, something written, apostle school, something will be filling. If you create a gap with fellowship, you find yourself with other people. You find yourself in another boy's arm, another boy's room, another boy's arm, different boys. By the time you finish, everybody has had a chance with you. And you have HIV, gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis, all of them. You are going home with them. Hepatitis B. Because of the cuts in your vagina from the other place, you have gone to introduce hepatitis B virus. Hey. Don't create a vacuum. Don't create a vacuum of fellowship. Everybody needs somebody to talk to. You say, but nobody talks to me because you are not friendly. If you will be friendly, you must show yourself friendly. You don't come for any meeting. When we have weekday meeting, you don't come. You don't come. When we have our service in the hall, you don't come. How will anybody know you? The places you go, those are the places that you have friends. You have friends. So don't create a vacuum for fellowship. It will happen. Breaking of bread, don't create a vacuum. Otherwise, some other thing will come. Social things will fill your life. You become an association of this student, association of this group meeting, this group. Every other type of person will fill that vacuum. And prayers. Don't create a vacuum for prayer. If you create a space, the enemy will fill it. Yeah, you'll see that you'll be watching on your phone. Films, different things. The time you would have spent in prayer, something else has filled it. Devote yourself. Everybody say attachment. Say, I'm attached. Tell your neighbor, are you attached or you are not attached? Tell your neighbor, I feel a certain attachment to the church. Tell your neighbor, say loyalty. Yeah, commitment. What are the four types of commitment? Fair weather commitment. Situational commitment. Non-situational and marital commitment. So that is devotion. You are maritally called. I'm here. I will be here. One of us will die. You die or I die. That's when we say bye-bye. We say bye-bye when we die. That's what it means to be maritally commitment. You say bye-bye when you die. Then you say goodbye. Goodbye, church. Goodbye, pastor. goodbye friend, goodbye whatever. It's said when you die. You don't say before you die. You don't get up in anger, say, I'm going. Hey, you can have your whatever, your church, go, whatever. Where are you going? Where are you going, my friend? Loyalty, commitment. Commitment. Commitment is very important. You watch and see. As you get older, your best friends are your old. My oldest friends, Bishop Saki, Bishop Eddie, Dr. Nosh, the people that were with me at the very beginning, they are the main people. So my wife, they have been the main people still from this school when we were here. Still up till today. Yeah, that's the best. So don't. The people I broke bread with. Bishop Saki was not Bishop Saki. He was Eats. He was tea. We call him tea. He used to make jollof. Yeah. He used to make jollof. Jollof rice. Yes. Chef Saki. He made it a number. Very good. Very nice jollof. With fish. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. And we'll eat. Yeah. Dr. Nosh. He used to eat in my room. I used to eat in his room. Well, together we eat. Breaking of bread together. Up till today, if he is in Ghana, he stays in my house. If I go to America and I'm in his area, I will stay in his house. Up till today, we are still breaking bread. Yeah. Meetings. We are still meeting the same people. Same people. So from today, we are going to watch who you are eating with. We are watching. We are watching your attachments, your loyalties, your commitments. Is it powerful? Is it fantastic? Tell your neighbor, I'm devoted. I am not ashamed of what I'm devoted to. Check your neighbor and see whether you know him or not. You know the person. Are you new? Are you devoted? Hey, here we are devoted, oh, here we are devoted. We are devoted here. Amen. So, I want everybody, listen. And then let's read the next verse as we close. We are ending. Notice verse 42. Everybody must remember verse 42. And verse 43. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many signs and wonders were taking place through the apostles.
Wow.
And all those who believed were together and had all things in common. Amen.
Amen.
You see, God will do wonders in your life through the apostles you believe in. Amen. Not the apostles who are apostles. But the apostles you believe in. They are the ones through whom miracles will come to your life. Not apostles. That the ones you believe in. When Jesus was going on the road and the woman with the issue of blood came, she believed that if I touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. But the others didn't believe it. They said, oh, he's a man of God, he's a great man. But this one said, if I touch. If that's what I believe. And she was the one who received. Yeah. So it's not, you know, just having a great apostle. But it is when you believe in the apostle, then great things start happening because faith draws the miracle power. And it takes something to believe in an apostle because he's also a man. He's just a normal person. Every man of God is a man. He's a man before he's a man of God. Wow.
But the more you believe, the more miracles come to you through the person. Yeah. And you'll find... So I found out that when I travel far and the people don't know me at all, more miracles take place. I become like a magician. I become like a real magician. There are places I've preached, I tell you, I myself was afraid of myself. Yeah. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I've preached in places I myself was afraid of. I was wondering what was happening. The kind of power, it was like there was lightning coming out of my fingertips. Serious. Yeah. But I was very far from home. Yeah. So the more you believe, the more it draws power. Jesus, when in Mark 6:2, he was the Son of God. The Bible says he could not do miracles, save lay hands on a few people with minor ailments. Minor ailments. The Son of God couldn't do much. Why? Because the people did not believe. They said he was Joseph's son. This was his sister. This is Mary. This is this. This is that. Said, oh, and miracle finished. So as you devote yourself to these words and you receive them, power. When I was in secondary school and university, this very university, I went to university in 1982. You wait. Before you tell me that you were not born, you wait. By 1988, I had been listening to Kenneth Hagin for about 9 to 10 years. Yeah. I was devoted to his teaching. I don't know, but especially his stories. I didn't know. Sometimes when I put on the table, I don't know what he's talking about. His uncle, he's saying something. Not reading any verse. He reads verses at the beginning and doesn't read any verse again. Then he just tells stories after that. He explained the preaching with the stories. Yeah. I would listen. But I didn't know that I was devoted. I didn't know that I was attached. I didn't know that I had affection. I saw that I had affection for him when he died because I started crying. And I don't cry easily. I don't easily cry. I'm not a crying type. I don't see why I should cry. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I need to cry, I'll cry. But I don't easily cry. Occasionally, I cry. When I started crying, I saw that, oh, I had some great affection for this man. But by 1988, which was my final year, I had now developed a strong attachment to his preaching. Even up till today, I am attached to his preaching. Oh yeah, I'm always scanning through his different years. Right now, I'm listening to some preaching in 1975 preaching. Yeah. That's what I've been listening to now, some 1975 messages that I have there. And I know the different types of messages that he has. So there are some ones that I look for. So in 1988, when I was in final year in medical school, we were sent to Suhum. And when I went out there, we were there for 1 month, 4 weeks. I was supposed to visit the slaughterhouse. I was supposed to visit the, do immunization, visit different places. I visited all. I did everything. And I was now free. And I have bought some bread from Insawam. Do you know there's some Insawam bread? Are they still making it? Tell them not to stop. It's a powerful bread. Listen, I'm about to end. I'm telling you the power of devotion. I was devoted to Kenneth Hagin's teaching as a student. I didn't know what it was. It was happening to me. I was just attached to him. Yeah. And one night, I had my own room and my friend who was my fellow student had his room the next door. And one night, I was praying. You know, and I knelt down by my bed side. I kneeled down by my bed and I was praying. I fell asleep. We didn't have so much to do and I was praying and I fell asleep by the bed. And I woke up in the middle of the night to him. Kenneth Hagin's preaching was on. I always put it on. It was like
I need that. Like today, I was playing Kenneth Hagin's preaching 1975 and listening to Tommy Walker at the same time. I was mixing the two, depending on which one or both of them should be down. It should be on. And I was praying. Don't move again. And I was praying. When I woke up in the middle of the night, I continued praying. And Kenneth Higgins was preaching in that tape recorder down there. Still, he had been on from about 7 o'clock. Suddenly, something jumped out of the tape and entered me here in my belly. And I heard a voice in the room. And the voice said, from today, you can teach. From today, you can teach. From today, you can teach. 1988. I'm telling you, I had a little church in my little classroom, basic sciences classroom. If you know it, at the medical school, we call it the basic sciences classroom, 1 and 2. My church was in 1. It was about a quarter of 1. About 25 people. And the Holy Spirit said to me, I will prove it to you. I will prove it to you. I was attached. I was attached to this man preaching. When I hear the stories, I don't know why up till now, I'm just attached. People listen to it. You know, I really like it. I don't know. It's nice to me. It is nice to me. And I was listening to it. And the Holy Spirit said, I will prove it to you. The next week, I was invited to full gospel businessmen at Suhum breakfast meeting. They said, oh, can you speak at the breakfast meeting? Yeah. I said, me? I can. So I preached. And it was very powerful. I said, Lord, this is it. You have showed it to me. You said you would show it to me. It has happened. But you see, I didn't know you were going to show it to me more. You see, I'm just talking to you. You know, I've been talking like that since 1988. It has become something else. A lot of people are listening. A lot of books have been written. A lot of churches. Yeah, because you see, I receive a power. So even as, although I'm just walking around, there's a power that is working, but you can't easily see it. There's an anointing. Yeah. The things that Elijah did, he did it because of the power. So when Elijah asked for 2 times of the anointing, he did 16 miracles. He did twice as much. Twice as many miracles as Elijah. Yeah. It's a power. So when you are attached and you have affection, you see, let me tell you, you either have affection or you criticize. Somebody came to this church and said, why is my picture on the banner? We love you. Somebody was offended by that. So you either criticize or somebody look and say, oh wow, yeah, it's true, but we love our daddy. Our daddy is good. What is it? What did you write there? Our daddy is too good there. Yeah. Some people are annoyed by this, some people. So you either have affection or irritation. When you have affection, your mouth is open. Why? You see, when you love somebody and you get married, you open wide. Yeah. Your heart is open when you are in love. But when you are angry, it closes up. Spiritually, when you are full of affection, your spirit opens. Things just drop that you never thought would drop there. They just start dropping in you. Gifts, power, wisdom, anointing. So don't be afraid of being attached. Be attached. More attached. When people say that you are attached, say, oh, I am. Pray for me. I am attached. I don't know what to do. I am attached. I don't know what else to do. And I expect something to begin to happen to you. I expect the anointing to begin to fall. I expect you to be wiser than your colleagues in school. I expect you to be full of power, full of anointing, full of grace. Stand to your feet and thank God for the grace, the power, and the anointing in your life. Father, we thank you for your blessing today. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you thanks. Hallowed be thy name, Lord. Thank God for the power. Thank God for devotion. Thank God for the effect of devotion.
devotion to the apostles' doctrine, devotion to fellowship, devotion to breaking of bread, devotion to prayers. And thank God for the effect of devotion. Devoting yourselves. Devoting yourselves. Devoting yourselves to the pastor's teachings. Lift your hand and ask God to touch your heart with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your power that is falling upon our lives. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, let your will be done, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Put your hand on your heart. Father, let the anointing fall on everyone here. As we are devoted to the apostles' doctrine and teachings, we thank you that it will not be in vain. But Lord, fear will come upon every soul and signs and wonders will be done. Miracles will happen because of this great way of living. Help us, Lord, who are breaking bread with strangers. Breaking bread and fellowshipping with wicked men and wicked strange women. To change our fellowship and begin to fellowship with the brethren. Let there be a difference between Egypt and Israel. Let there be a difference between your people and those that are not your people. Let there be a change, Lord. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to rest upon your people. Give us wisdom as young people. That the wisdom will change our life forever, Lord. We thank you for the great blessing and power of our lives. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. And everyone said amen. Every head bowed, please, for a moment. Every eye closed. If you are here today, you are not a born-again Christian. Maybe somebody invited you to church today, but you want to give your life to God. You want to say, Pastor, pray with me. Pray for me, please. Somebody invited me to the church, but I want to give my life to God today. I want Jesus Christ to wash away my sins. I want to become a new person. I want my life to be changed forever. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you came from. But God wants to change you. God is calling you. God is touching your heart. God is pulling you out of a perverse, a wicked life. And is bringing you to a new place. If you are here today, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God today. I don't want to continue in darkness and wickedness. I want a change. I want Jesus to wash me. I want to start a new life with God. Please help me. Pray with me. I want to give my life to God today. If you are here like that, wherever you are standing, just stand where you are, but lift up your hand and I'm going to pray with you. Lift up your right hand. Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ today. Lift your right hand up high. God bless you. God bless you. Just your right hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just your right hand. Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God today. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ today. Pray with me. Your hand must be up in there. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you've lifted up your hand, I want you to do one more thing. Come to me from where you are standing. Just come to me in the front here, and I'm going to pray with you.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
Stand right here. Stand right here. Come from the back. Come from the side. Come from wherever. Come, let me pray with you. Come.
Every breath that
just stand right here. Wherever you are standing, come. I want to give my life to God today. Pray with me, Pastor. Help me to know God. Come to Jesus today. Close your eyes, lift your hands, say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I am a sinner. I am a terrible sinner. I am a terrible sinner. I am a terrible sinner. Today, I confess my sins. Have mercy on me. Close your eyes and say, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Forgive me for my wicked ways. Today, I open my heart I give my life to Jesus Christ. Oh God, please write my name. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I'll give my life. I'll follow Jesus and I'll serve Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. I love you, Jesus. Say, I love you, Jesus. Say, I love you, Jesus. I will follow you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Now say after me, Satan.
Satan.
Listen carefully. From today, I will not follow you again. I belong to God. I belong to Jesus Christ. I belong to Jesus Christ. And I will serve Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering. God bless you.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.